Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. If you find any interest in what we're doing here, I'd like to hear from you. Comments, questions, challenges, I take them all. My whole purpose here is to rightly divide the Word of God here, so if you think that I'm in error on something, well, I need you to correct me. I need you to show me where I'm wrong. I am correctable because I want to be right, but I don't want to be right to the exclusion of the truth. No, I want to be right because I found the truth, because I've searched out the Word, because I've rightly divided the Word of God, and that I can rest in His truth. So, like I said, email me any challenges, any comments, anything that I'm speaking on here. Now, we left off, we were talking about Mystery Babylon, specifically the image of the beast, because that's what the Mystery Babylon is. It's the image of the beast, and the image is of all of the governments throughout all mankind, which were represented by Nebuchadnezzar's dream of an image, him being the head of gold and going down through history to the feet, and the 10 toes of clay mingled with iron, which were struck by the kingdom of God. And then the kingdom of God, of course, in the dream filled the earth. And of course, Daniel said the prophecy is sure and the interpretation thereof is sure. So we have a sure prophecy. We have a sure interpretation. And it's something that we can mesh with all a prophecy. Like I say, the times of the Gentiles, and the word Gentiles means nations, so the times of the nations is represented by this image. And this image represented all of the governments of mankind through all time, all through all history. And these are images, of course, in context with the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. These are images that men set up. And I always draw the example of like the state of California, you know, and they write it in all caps because it's a fiction. It's an image. It doesn't really exist. Yes, I believe in the land of California, and it's a beautiful land. That's why I live here, because I like the land, and I like the climate. It gets pretty hot where I live in the summer, but I love those long days. You can get a lot of work done. You know, just take a siesta in the middle of the afternoon in the hottest part of the day. And that way you can enjoy the cooler parts of the day better, because you're not so tired if you take your little siesta in the middle of the day. But I love the land here. You know, my Heavenly Father, He created a wonderful place for us. But the state of California, I hate their image. And I hate their government, because I don't consider it my government. I'm part of His kingdom. His kingdom goes across all borders. I don't worship their image. I worship the King of Kings. Because worship is obedience. And I will obey Him and His law. And all of these other lawgivers out here are false images. They're idols. That's why I say statism is idolatry. So when it says here in Leviticus 26:1, you shall make no idols, you shall make you no idols. And it goes on, nor graven image. So no idolatrous images to worship, no lawgiver before our Heavenly Father, no graven image. Don't rear up a standing image. We have a standing image over there. They have one. I shouldn't say we, because I don't have it. But they have one over there, and they have them all over the place, actually. I went to the state capital, Sacramento. That's a funny name, isn't it? You go up there, and it's full of images and idols and idolatry. So that's their Sacramento. And they have us there, but over in New York Harbor, they have the biggest image probably, perhaps in the world, isn't it? That they call it the Statue of Liberty, but I call it Ashtaroth. And I know it's Ashtaroth because of the asterisk on its head. I know who she is. They can call it Liberty. They can call it anything they want. But what it is something else. They've deceived the people. They've erected a statue to Ashtaroth over there in New York Harbor, and they called it liberty. And yes, what kind of liberty are they trying to get you to exercise? But liberty from the law of Yahuwah, our creator, and they want you to worship their image, their idol. They want you to pay obeisance to their lawgiver and their laws and all of the gods that they make through their apotheosis. So, you shall make no idols, or graven image, neither rear up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land to bow down under it, for I, Yahuwah, am your God. So, he is my God. You know, wherever his people are, wherever his holy nation is, it doesn't matter what the pagans do around us, it doesn't matter what kind of images they set up, it doesn't matter how many lawgivers they sanction and sanctify and so forth. He, our creator, is our God. We are to obey him and to worship him. We are his holy nation, and we are over all the earth. We may be a remnant, we may be a minority, and no doubt we are, but he is our lawgiver, and we obey and worship him because obedience is worship. There is no higher law than the law of our Heavenly Father. And he says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahuwah. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Now, of course, in context here, now you got to remember, we're back, this is the first month of the first year after, or the second year after the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, that Moses is receiving this instruction. And of course, his scribes are writing it down. Okay, he's receiving the instruction, and I'm certain that then he dictated it to the scribes. They wrote it down. We don't get the particulars on how all the mechanics happened, but they did happen, and we have it here, and we know that he was receiving this instruction in the second year, in the first month after they came out of Egypt. But in a lot of ways, this applies to us. Even if we're homeless, even if we're landless, we have to remember that his holy nation is over all the earth. And that the land, we are still in the times of the nations, or the times of the Gentiles, represented by the mystery Babylon image. So we know that these heathen have erected their lawgivers and their images out here, and they have their enforcers of their laws and the enforcers of their image of their beasts out here all around us. We, you know, we are in the world but not of it, because we are of his holy nation. So this can apply to us, but not in the same way that it applied to the children of Israel. To them, it was supposed to apply in the flesh, in the land, as a physical nation. Of course, we know they blew it, and the opposite happened, just as the Heavenly Father told them it would happen. But let it be a warning to us. And really, we need to take these promises and carry them over into his holy nation, into the spiritual realm, because we realize, because of the grace of Yahshua, you know, the Redeemer of mankind, we can see, we can stand before the throne of our Heavenly Father now. We can enter into the Holy of Holies. There's no longer the separation of the veil that was rent in the middle of the 70th week. That's when he said, "It is finished." It was rent. He gave us now a new grace. Before, we had grace that we could live and repent and choose to live a life of obedience. So he brought us the additional grace of not only now could we live, but not suffer the immediate death due for the punishment of our sins, but and accept or choose to live a life of obedience to our Heavenly Father. But after we do that, choose to live that life of obedience to our Heavenly Father, now we can enter into the Holy of Holies in the spiritual realm, in His holy nation. As Paul wrote, I sit in heavenly places in Christ, Yahushua, my Messiah. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Because we are covered by His blood, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We can go before the throne room of our Father, and He hears our prayers. We can enter in because of what He did. That is an additional grace that the believer receives beyond the grace that we're all born with, in that we get to be born and live. Because the fact was that Adam and Eve received a grace at the instant that they sinned, and that they did not surely die in that day, but they did receive a death sentence, and the grace allowed them to live until the Heavenly Father said, you know, your grace period is up. And that's true with each one of us. Some of us get no grace period at all. Some of us lose our grace period before we're born in the womb. Some are killed or murdered by their parents or other people. Some are just miscarried. Some people live longer than others. The grace period varies, and that's, you know, either at the whim of evil men who murder other people, or at the pleasure of our Creator who decides. Or perhaps maybe it's because of our own disobedience to His law that we sabotage our own flesh and destroy it through evil things we do, or just plain disobedience, because, well, we think we're free from the law, so we don't have to, you know, live by His law, and therefore, you know, our flesh is destroyed prematurely. You know, we don't enjoy our full grace period. It's cut off sooner. Or maybe we're poisoned accidentally. You know, it varies from person to person what's really going on there. So all of these promises apply to us in a way, but it's not as though we are national Israel in the flesh, because we're a holy nation now, and we're scattered as a remnant throughout the earth. And with the image of mystery Babylon reigning and ruling by her believers and her worshipers that worship the image and enforce the image for her, speaking of mystery Babylon, of course, the nations. And that's the position that we live in today. And it may be perhaps that living by the law of our Heavenly Father may require us to go against the image, and we may be persecuted by that. And we have to understand that too. I mean, when you think of the mark of the beast, it's going to be hard to go against the mark of the beast, because what's going to happen? Well, you may not be able to get a driver's license if you don't get the mark of the beast. You may not be able to get a bank account if you don't get the mark of the beast. You may not be able to get a loan if you don't get the mark of the beast. You may get stopped on the street because you don't have the mark of the beast, so that you can have a national or international ID card, because you have to have the mark of the beast to get it. Then you may be persecuted for that and thrown in jail. You may be beheaded for that. See, that's how the mark of the beast works. A lot of people are surprised. Oh, yeah. Well, gosh, I can't go out and drive without a driver's license, because the policy enforcers of the image will stop me, and perhaps they'll put me in jail or steal my vehicle and leave me on the street. Or maybe they'll even beat me up and put me in their jail. You know, they might taser me. They might. Oh, no, but if you go down and you get the mark of the beast, then they'll give you a driver's license. But if you don't claim that mark of the beast is yours, they won't give you a driver's license. It seems to make perfect sense to me. You know, and I believe that you can repent. You know, if you went and you compromised and broke the law of Yahuwah so that you would not be harassed by the policy enforcers out there, I believe you can repent. Fear. That's why people are going to get the mark of the beast. They're going to get it out of fear. And many of them will justify it saying, oh, well, I've got to feed my children. You know, if I can't have money, if I can't borrow money, if I can't get a bank account, if I can't, you know, get money transfers or instant deposits, and if I can't have a credit card and debit card and driver's license go to work, how am I going to feed my children? You know, this whole image thing, this whole idolatry thing, you know, it becomes clearer and clearer. I mean, most people probably think I'm nuts saying these things because they consider it. And yeah, it does sound, oh yeah, you know, it certainly can't be. It can't be, you know. And then they have the fantasy, you know, the left behind fantasy that this big guy is going to come at the end of time. This Antichrist character is going to come at the end of time. And he's going to go around and he's going to say, get the mark of the beast or die. 666 tattooed on your hand or your forehead. That's all fantasy. That's not reality. You know, get those books called Left Behind and look on the back down in the bottom corner and guess what it says? It says fiction. And they're making millions of dollars off of this fiction, and people believe it. I laugh, but it's not really funny. You know, sometimes we just have to laugh. We need a little comic relief because it is so serious. But I believe you can repent. And then they'd say, once you get the mark of the beast, that's it. You're going to burn in hell for... No, I believe you can repent at any time, especially if you did something in ignorance, because you were taught to ignore certain things by your preachers, by your indoctrination through the state school system, public school system. They indoctrinated your brain. They beat it into you. Statism, rah, rah, patriotism. I pledge allegiance to the inanimate object of the flag of the United States of America in image. You know, and to the republic for which it does not stand. One nation, indivisible. There's another lie. That's fascism. And America's been a fascist nation since the Civil War, when all of states were bound together by force, as the fasci represents, you know, the bundle sticks, banded together with the hatchet, representing everything being held together by force. Yeah, there you go. I pledge allegiance, huh? No, I have my pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under our Heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all. And I'll tell you what, I want to get that grace and I want to get that mercy because justice condemns us all without grace and mercy. And that's why when I wrote that Pledge of Allegiance, I wrote it in that order, very carefully considering every word that I wrote in that Pledge of Allegiance. Grace, mercy, and justice for all. Because if you don't want his grace and his mercy, you know, the grace that comes through Yahshua, our Messiah, because you've chosen to live a life of obedience to him and his law and an allegiance to his kingdom, he gives you grace to enter into his throne room. Mercy, because you're forgiven of your sins. If you don't receive that, well, then all you're left with is justice. He's looking for volunteers to enter his kingdom. And now that's my plea to everyone out there. Please cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and live forever. I mean, there's no other way. You could die forever in hell. You could live that eternal death and separation from everything good. You know, all the good things in your life, even all of the good things in the most evil man's life. Because, you know, evil men have good things in their life. You know, they can enjoy a good meal. That's a gift from God. They can enjoy the embrace of a child, their own child. That's a good thing. They can enjoy the love of a woman or a man. The pleasure is a good thing, though the circumstance may be sinful. But all of those good things in the life of even the most wicked and evil person are a gift from our Heavenly Father. And when hell is going to be the absence of everything good, all of those good things, even if the most evil men have done good in their life, and that's a gift from God, it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be taken away. They hate him. They hate his law. They abhor his law. What would they do in heaven? They would hate it. Heaven would be hell to them. They don't want to be there. So there's no choice for them. The choice is made by default for them. Certainly a very sad and sorry estate for all of those who reject the Messiah, who walk away from the truth of our Creator. I'm not saying anyone has to get all the words right, or they have to say the name of the Creator correctly. I believe that there are even Catholics and Mormons, perhaps even Jehovah's Witnesses, people caught up in these so-called churches, that will be saved because their heart is right with their Creator, even though they may be walking in ignorance or walking with the best knowledge that they have. There may be people who never read a Bible or even heard the name Yahushua or Jesus that are going to be saved because they walked in the integrity of their heart, because they loved the truth. Because I believe that our Heavenly Father is just, and I believe that He does judge the heart. And I'm glad that those decisions aren't up to me. A lot of arrogant people out there say, unless you repeat, say the magic words, unless you, you know, proclaim the name Jesus, you know, hard and fast rules. I'm glad that they're not God, you know, because they'd condemn most of the world. Yeah, cross the border in this kingdom. There's nothing more important in this life. Absolutely nothing more important in this life than you cross the border into His kingdom. You know, once you receive the knowledge of the truth, you should pursue it. There really is nothing more important. This life is short. You know, and even the heathen say it all the time. Life is short. You know, get the most. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. Life is short. You know, enjoy sin while you can. Life is short. Right? Wrong. Life is short, but eternity is forever. So we should be more concerned with eternity, because this life is short. You know, this mortal existence is short. It won't last long. You don't live for it. You have to live for eternity, because eternity is forever. So we need to pay attention. There's nothing more important than entering into His kingdom and obtaining eternal life as He provided it through His Messiah. And how do you do that? Well, you say, teach me obedience, Heavenly Father. Obedience to Him is to love Him and to love your neighbor as yourself. We'll be back after these brief messages.